They want to ascend into the heavens. You're with me. Where can I flee from your presence? Aren't you glad you can't outrun him? It'd be foolish to try. Jonah tried. What he found out was even in the belly of hell, God was there. God still had purpose. He still had a destiny. Amen. He still had a calling. All wrapped up with seaweed. And whatever else was in that belly. Amen. I mean, sometimes you'll be sitting in that place and come to yourself and say, you know what, this isn't me. There's something better for me than this. Hallelujah. So if you know somebody who's in the belly of hell today, that's what the scripture refers to as Jonah and the being in the belly of the well. How many know the scripture says he was in the belly of hell? Hallelujah. I got good news for you. God's there too. Amen. They still have purpose. They still have destiny. They still have calling. Amen. Aren't you glad that the grace of God could go to the deepest depths, the highest heavens? Hallelujah. That wherever we are, his grace and his mercy is enough. It's sufficient for us. Hallelujah. It's sufficient for us. Hallelujah. I feel good this morning. Anybody feel refreshed in here this morning? A good presence of the Holy Spirit, a good presence. Hallelujah. I feel the flow of the river this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the scripture talks in Ezekiel about getting into your knees and then getting into your, you know, getting into your ankles and then getting into your knees and then getting into your hips and your groins. And how many know after a while the water was so consuming that it carried him away. And I don't want to just experience the presence of the Lord in my life where I can just step in with my feet and then step back out and just get my feet wet in his presence. But I want to come to the place where the water carries me away, that wherever his desire and whatever his desire is in my life, that his spirit and that river of life carries me in the direction that he would have me to go. Because what happens when you get to a certain place in that water, you no longer have control. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody ever been to the ocean and get hit and wiped out by one of those big waves? And you can rebuke it and you can fight it all you want to, but how many know sometimes when it comes, it knocks you. It carries you where it wants to go. Hallelujah. And so I want to be so consumed by his presence this morning that no longer do I have control over it, but that his presence and his spirit in my life has control and it carries me wherever his desire is for me to go, because I know that his purpose in my life is greater than any purpose that I have, any desire that I have. Amen. His purpose in my life. Hallelujah. To bring me to where he wants me to be. Hallelujah. And I'm thankful for that this morning. I'm thankful for that river. Hallelujah. When I sing that song, I think about the man who laid by the pool of Bethesda. And as he laid by the pool of Bethesda, Jesus simply said to him, "Will you be made whole?" And his response wasn't yes or no. His response was, he started to reason it out and really kind of make excuses and said, well, when the water gets stirred, there's an angel comes once a year. When it stirs the water, somebody always steps down ahead of me and they get a healing before me and I don't get my healing. Jesus didn't ask for excuses. He didn't ask you to explain it away. He said, do you want to be made whole? Because access is there for you. Everything that you need to be made whole, you have been laying beside of for 38 years. And you can look upon it and you can wish it and you can hope it to come to pass. But how many know sometimes you got to move into what God is doing? You got to step into the flow of that river. Hallelujah. Because you understand that in the water, in the river, there's healing. Hallelujah. And my desire is this morning, I want to be made whole, mind, soul, body, and spirit. I want God's miraculous work in my life. Hallelujah. And I don't want to lay on the side crippled by my past, crippled by my thoughts, my memories, my actions. I don't want to be crippled by anything. I want to step into what God's fullness is for me. Yes. My answer is yes. I want to be made whole today. Hallelujah. He said, do you want to be made whole? He said, well, somebody always gets there before me. Hallelujah. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but I'm thinking after 38 years, I'm going to figure out that whoever gets there first. See, I grew up in a family of nine. Whoever got to the table first got all the blessing. Got the biggest piece of chicken. The largest scoop of mashed potatoes. I won't say who it was who got there first. But how many know we all made it through? Hallelujah. But after 38 years of laying me on the bank, I'm going to come up with a plan for tomorrow. Do you hear me? I'm going to come up with a plan for tomorrow. Say, you know what? I got an idea. You lay me on the edge this time, because when it starts to move, when the Spirit starts to move, when God begins to move, when He begins to stir something up, I'm going to roll myself into that pool. I'm gonna tuck and roll. I'm going to do somersaults. I'm going to pull with my elbows. I'm going to do whatever I got to do to be the first one to step in the water, because, yes, I want to be made whole. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes you got to make up your mind? You got to make up your mind to some things. Yes, I want to be made whole. I want all that God has for me. I'm tired of laying on the side crippled by my thoughts, by my emotions, by my past, by my reputation, by my finances, by my sicknesses, my limitations. Yes, Lord. Yes, today I want to be made whole. Hallelujah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of our God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 2 this morning. And although it seems like it's kind of past the holiday season, I want to talk a little bit about the wise men this morning. Hallelujah. Do we have any wise men in here today? Couple. Hallelujah. The wise guys. I'm going to talk about the wise guys this morning. Hallelujah. Out of Matthew chapter 2. And I really want to present this in a couple different ways. So I'm not sure what all directions we'll go this morning. I'm not even sure if we'll get finished. I'm not even sure if we'll, what direction we'll go. Hallelujah. You might just get clips of all kinds of sermons. Hallelujah. But in Matthew chapter 2, it's the scripture of the wise men who come to see Jesus. All right? Everybody's familiar with the story of the wise men. How many wise men were there? That was a trick question. How many gifts did they bring? That was a trick question too. I mean, the Bible doesn't tell us how many wise men there were or how many gifts they bring. It tells us three kinds of gifts that were brought, and it tells us, and sometimes we think that there were three wise men because they brought three gifts, but how many know that's not what the scripture says? We also see a lot of times, you see the shepherds on one side, and you see the wise men on the other side at the stable. How many know that's probably not scriptural either? For a couple reasons. One reason is that the scripture says that when the wise men came, that they had come from the east, and they traveled a far distance, and they came to the house where the young child was. They didn't come to the manger where the shepherds were. They came to the house where the young child was. Another reason that we know that probably the wise men were not at the stable, they were not in Bethlehem at that time, because if you remember when we talked a week or so ago, that when Jesus was presented in the temple, when Mary and Joseph brought the baby at the 40 days of the purification from Mary, and they came to the temple, they brought an offering. Does anybody remember what the offering was that they brought? Pair two turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, what do you remember about that offering? That was a poor man's offering. So very unlikely that the wise men had made it to the stable, to the manger, else Mary and Joseph would have been able to offer the lamb that was required. But if you didn't have a lamb, out of the book of Leviticus, if you didn't have a lamb, you could offer two turtle doves or two young pigeons, which was a poor man's offering. And so wise men came from the east in search of the king. They come in search of he who was born king of the Jews, okay? And so as they're searching for that, how many know Pastor Roger Legg mentioned a little bit last week about the astrology or the symbols in the heavens and things like that, you know, and he told you he wasn't into horoscopes, but he was into what the heavens are saying. I mean, you know, the book of Job talks about the constellations, and can you, you know, can you name the constellations? Can you even understand those things? Where were you, Job, when I hung the stars and I set the moon into place in the heavens? And where were you? And how many know in the scriptures, before the scripture says that he was the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world? How many know before there was ever a plan in action, before there was ever an Adam and Eve, God had already put a plan in place for the salvation and the redemption of all men? Okay, so first thing you know, we're not on plan B. God did not get caught off guard. We're still on plan A. Everybody all right? Hallelujah. And so we have developed a system where we read the heavens or we read the stars. How many know these astrologers were wise men from the east who had studied the stars and had studied the heavens and waited for the time where they would see the star or the constellation that was the sign that a king had been born in the earth? And how many know when the constellation or the star was positioned in the east, how many know they packed their luggage? The Message Bible says they opened their luggage and they presented unto him gifts. Hallelujah. And so they traveled great distances. They went to great effort. And if you go back and read historically what probably would have happened, we sometimes see three men on a journey with a couple camels, and we see one has a gift of gold, and one has a gift of frankincense, and one has a gift of myrrh, and they come in and they present that to the baby Jesus. But they said quite possibly what would have happened, it would have been a huge caravan of people who had traveled a very long distance, so that when they came into town, they made a stir. People knew that a caravan of very wealthy people had just stopped into town and are seeking him who is born King of the Jews. And that they would have lavished probably great amounts of finances and gifts of gold, frankincense, of the nature of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to the baby Jesus, to the point that Mary and Joseph were able to flee from there and go into Egypt and reside in safety until Herod was out of the picture. Hallelujah. I want to talk a little bit this morning about the gift of giving, and wise men bring gifts. You know, I think a lot of times we come into an assembly or we come to church and things like that. And I'll just say me. I know a lot of times I've come into and I come with a mentality of what the Lord's going to do for me today. Okay? And I won't ask you to raise your hand, but have you ever come to church and said, wonder what the Lord's going to do for me today? I need a healing today, or I need finances today, or I need something today. How many know he is the supplier of our needs? Amen? But really in the last while, God has begun to adjust my mentality and just my mindset so that I'm not just coming to see what God has in store for me today, but I'm coming with an attitude and an expectation of what I can pour out and give unto him today. Amen? How many know that's a different mindset? That's a different mentality. Hallelujah. These wise men came to visit him who was born King of the Jews, not because that king had necessarily anything to impart to them or that they were coming to be blessed by this new king that was born King of the Jews, but they said, you know what? There is a king who was born, one who is the King of the Jews. I'm going to come and bring him the best of what I have. How many know it's a different mentality when you start coming to the house of the Lord and said, you know what? I'm going to bring the best that I have today. I'm going to pour out my incense. I'm going to pour out my fragrance on him. I'm going to honor him as king. I'm going to bow down before him. I'm going to give him the honor that is due him. Hallelujah. How many know that's a different mindset? That's a different mentality. What happens sometimes when we constantly come, we sometimes, I think, are guilty of being in a mindset that God is our celestial Santa Claus. And so it's a give me, give me, give me. And he's making a list and he's checking it twice. And those who are naughty don't get anything, but those who are nice get, you know, the best. And so we sometimes have this mentality of celestial Santa Claus, when really our mentality needs to be more, I believe, of what the wise men said is, you know what? I've heard there's a king in town. I've heard that the Messiah is among us. Emmanuel, God with us, is among us. I'm going to travel whatever distance I got to go to find him. I'm going to give whatever it is I got to give to bless him. I'm going to pour out everything I have to him, because it's not only something that's happening in the earth, but I've seen the map in the heavens, and God is about to infiltrate this planet earth. God himself, Emmanuel, God with us. Hallelujah. And you know, when we view even coming together into an assembly or a house like this, that when I got here today, God was already here. Hallelujah. How many know we brought him with us, a corporate body, and when we come together in this house, I'm like Brother Joe. I feel the energy, Joe, before we even got started this morning, as people started to lift their voice and said, I've been in the presence of the King this week. I received a healing. God has healed people of cancer. God has touched my back. God has given me more gifts than I could ever contain, and I just come today to pour my life out to you and bow down before you and said, there is a king in our midst. I come to give you honor. I come to give you praise, and I come to pour out my incense on you today. Hallelujah. And I believe when we come with a mindset like that, we set ourselves up for blessing. Hallelujah. I'm going to let you in on a little secret today. Hallelujah. He's setting you up. It's a setup. You guys have been set up today for blessing. And we're going to talk about that a little bit in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. How many know when these wise men came into town, they made no small stir? They got the attention of King Herod. Hallelujah. And he began to require, where this young child shall be born. How many know his position, he felt, was threatened? Amen? All of a sudden, he's not real secure in his seating. Hallelujah. And it's because of this king who was born. Hallelujah. The king who had been born. How many know all Herods have to be dethroned? Everything that is against what God is about to do in the earth. Hallelujah. The voice of Herods must be silenced. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. How many know the governor is in the mansion? The governor is in his house. And see, and it says, then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Hallelujah. How many know when the wise men come into the town, and they bring their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. They said, we're coming to see where this king is that's born, king of the Jews. We have seen his star and have come to worship him. How many know the Messiah and the king was already amongst those in that area, and they did not know He was there. But somebody got a revelation or a vision of the heavens and said, you all may not even know it, but there's a king in your midst. Hallelujah. I mean, no, somebody's got to rise up and say, there's a king in our midst, and he's alive and well. The Messiah has come. Emmanuel, God with us. Hallelujah. How many know when the angels appeared to the shepherds, they said, and they came with haste and went down to see that which was done, what the angels had told them. Hallelujah. And they made known abroad what was told them. Now, either we've kind of forgot what was happening, or they just haven't made it to every spot yet to publicize the news that the Messiah has come. Now, they told the shepherds, his name shall be called Jesus. Now, whether they've recognized him yet as king or not, we don't know. But how many of the wise men that came from the east said, we've seen the star in the heavens, and we've come to worship him. Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes there'll be those that'll come from afar to worship him, and those that are right around miss what's going on. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes God can be right in the midst of you, and you can still miss what he's doing because you're still looking for something else to happen. How many know the greatest event that we have ever experienced is the revelation and the understanding of what already happened on the cross 2,000 years ago? Hallelujah. When he said, if I'll be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Hallelujah. And so we are in celebration of him who was born king. How many know he is my king today? I am part of the kingdom of God, part of the kingdom of heaven. And he said the kingdom of God is not meats and drinks, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He lives and dwells among us. Hallelujah. Next verse. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. I mean, the song we sang this morning says, I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad. How many know rejoicing is as a choice? Sometimes I'll sing that song to myself and say, I choose to rejoice today. I choose to give him praise. I choose to honor the king. I choose to lift up the name of Jesus. I choose to let a heart of rejoicing, hallelujah, be present. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. How many know, remember when the Queen of Sheba came to visit Solomon? She came with quite an offering. She didn't just bring him a bottle of wine for dinner. She brought him quite an offering, and that was the custom that kings would honor other kings or queens. And so that quite possibly when they come and said, and they opened their treasure chest, and they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. How many know, go back to that verse and hang there for a minute. How many know the scripture says we have a treasure in this earthen vessel? Hallelujah. And we have the opportunity to present our gifts unto him. Amen. And our gifts can be, how many know the nature of these gifts were diverse? There was more than one kind of gift. There were gifts of gold, and there were gifts of frankincense and incense, and there were gifts of myrrh that they presented unto him. How many know we all have a treasure inside of us? We all have gifts and talents and abilities inside of us. Amen? Hallelujah. The scripture talks about the diversity of giftings and the gifts of knowledge and tongues and interpretations and all the different things, the gifts of healings and things like that are in the house. Do you believe that those gifts are still in operation today? Hallelujah. Because if you don't believe that they're still in operation, you're not going to operate in them. If you don't know you have it in your treasure chest, you're not going to be able to pull out of that treasure chest. How many know there was a diversity of giftings and ministries and talents in this house this morning? I mean, some have the gift of worship and music. Some have the gift of speaking. Some have the gift of knowledge. Some have the gift of interpretation. Some have the gifts of healing and all the different giftings are in the house. Everything that we need from God, I believe, is in the house. And it's in the treasure chest. But how many know sometimes we got to come into the house and just go ahead and open up the treasure chest? Somebody got to unlock the door a little bit. Somebody got to let the treasure chest open, hallelujah, and present those gifts in the house to him and say, Lord, I come to present my gifts to you today. Hallelujah. I recognize you as king. How many know those gifts can be symbolic in the fact that the king was the gold was presented to him as the deity and the gold and the recognition that he was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The incense was symbolic of prayer and praise and worship, and the incense, the temple incense that was offered as a praise and an incense unto God, and part of the apothecary, and the fragrances were a part of that, and the myrrh was also used as it was. Myrrh had all kinds of healing properties and all kinds of things, but it was also an embalming fluid. It was used to preserve the body. How many know it was a recognition of him as king, but not just king, as he who was one who was come born to die that I might live and that we might have life eternal through him. Hallelujah. So they were coming and bowing down in honor and in worship of him and saying, I recognize you as my king. I recognize you as the one that God put the patterns in the heavens. Hallelujah. That behold, a child is born and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Hallelujah. How many know Isaiah prophesied those hundreds and hundreds of years before it ever came to pass? Hallelujah. God had already written it before it ever came to pass. How many know the crucifixion of Jesus was not Pilate's idea? It wasn't Herod's idea. It wasn't Judas's fault. Hallelujah. But it was the plan from the foundation of the world that God would send his son, the perfect lamb of sacrifice, that once and for all the law could no more demand the blood of bulls and goats and lambs and divers offerings, but once and for all the perfect lamb of sacrifice offered for us that I could have forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. And receive everything that God had for me. So they opened their treasures. Another translation, I believe it's the Message Bible, says they opened their luggage. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes it's just all right to bring your luggage in and just unload it? Amen. Let me say it another way. Sometimes you just got to get rid of the baggage. Amen. Hallelujah. In this instance, they're bringing gifts to him. But how many know sometimes it's all right to unload your luggage and unload your baggage before him and let him fill your treasure chest up with his goodness, his mercy, his life, his grace in you. Hallelujah. That makes you worthy to receive everything that he has. Gold and frankincense and myrrh. Verse 12. In a dream, they were warned not to report back to Herod, so they worked out another route, left the territory without being seen, and returned to their own country. Hallelujah. They were warned of God in a dream, and they went another way. After the scholars were gone, God's angel showed up again in Joseph's dream and commanded, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt. Stay until further notice. Herod is on the hunt for this child and wants to kill him." Can I tell you that there's still Herod's on the hunt for this child? Hallelujah. Joseph obeyed. He got up, took the child and his mother under cover of darkness. They were out of town and well on their way by daylight. They lived in Egypt until Herod's death. This Egyptian exile fulfilled what Hosea had preached. I called my son out of Egypt. Hallelujah. How many know Egypt has no hold on you? Egypt has no hold on you. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes you got to go to great lengths to honor the king? You might need to pack up your caravan. You might need to travel some distance. And I'm not talking even just physical. How many know sometimes you got to make the effort to come to see him who is your king, your King of Kings and your Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. And I believe that when we come to him, we come with our hands full of everything that God has blessed us with. How many know there are so many ways to present your treasures or your gifts unto him? Amen? Hallelujah. They didn't come empty-handed when they came. They come to bring gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And once they had seen him and had experienced him, how many know they returned and went another way? How many can say when you experienced him as your King of Kings, you returned another way? You went out another way. How many can say you're not the same old person that you used to be, that an encounter with him who is your King and your Lord has changed who you are? Anybody in here? Hallelujah. Can say he's changed who you are. Hallelujah. Amen. When I think about bringing gifts, it said they came and they brought him gifts. They didn't come with their truck backed up to his house and say, Lord, we come for you to bless us. We come to see the king because we knew the king had blessings for us. So we've come. How many know they come with their hands full? They come to present gifts unto him. And you know, in the house of God, we have so many opportunities to bless him, to come with our hands full, to come giving of our gifts and our talents, whether it be our time, whether it be our talents, whether it be our finances, whether it be whatever it is, we have our resources to give to him. Amen. I was thinking this morning as I was getting ready for church, probably I would say one of the greatest things that my parents taught us as young children was to be a tither, to be a giver. My parents were always very giving. As I told you, we grew up with nine of us in the house, and whoever got to the table first got the biggest piece of chicken, and we didn't always have the greatest or the best of everything, and we ate a lot of gravy and green beans in our house. About the only thing that this patch of ground where you all were sitting on would grow was green beans. We didn't grow a lot of corn, we didn't grow a lot of tomatoes, but it grew green beans. And so I have eaten my share of green beans and Lord gravy. You know, where you take the drippings and you make a gravy and you put it over the dried homemade bread that you had from a day or so ago, and that's what you had. Amen? And so we grew up in that house where we didn't have a lot of things. I tell my kids stories. I said, I was the kid that, you know, for Christmas sometimes got the naked doll babies from the, you know, the Salvation or what. I can remember when, you know, when the Sandman was on strike and there wasn't finances, and I remember somebody bringing us a box of toys at Christmas time, not wrapped up or anything, but there were some doll babies that didn't even have clothes on them in there. But to us, they were toys. They, you know, it was something new. So I remember some of those times. Amen? And so I can remember some of those times, even in our relationship early on, first married and things like that. You know, I remember having, my husband was a contractor. It was a rough winter, the first winter we got married. So they didn't do a lot of working outside. A lot of days they didn't have work. When we moved into our house, I guess we were in love. I don't know. And we didn't have, okay, yeah, we were in love. I did know that, but sorry, babe. Why I'm saying that is we didn't have it completely finished. We didn't have insulation in the attic. We got married in June. It wasn't a big deal in June. But come November and December, no insulation in the attic was a big deal. Amen. And I can remember pushing the couches together in the living room, sleeping in front of the wood stove. One morning I got up to go to work, laid my bathrobe on the wood stove that had a porcelain jacket, like the old cold stove, laid my bathrobe on there to warm it up before I could go to, you know, and then put it on and get ready to go for work. Only I didn't realize we had it hopping so hot it burned a hole right in the middle of my bathrobe, you know, and that was so. We were living on love, I guess, in those first couple years. But now we know I can stand here today and tell you the faithfulness of God. I can tell you the faithfulness of God. And I said that by telling you that one of the greatest lessons probably that my parents ever taught me was to be a giver, to be a tither in the house of the Lord. And from a young age, God proved himself to me. And I've told this story before, and I don't mean to bore you with it, but when I was a little girl, I had given some money in the offering, and I'm sure it was very little. I was the widow and the two mites, only I wasn't a widow. But I didn't have much, I'm sure, because we didn't get offerings. We didn't get allowance in our house. You were allowed to live there. You were allowed to eat there. You were allowed to sleep there. That's what allowance we got when we were kids. So you didn't do your chores and get allowances for it. You were allowed to remain in that house. You were allowed to sleep there, and you were allowed to be a part, and you were allowed to do those chores. And so that was the allowances I had. So if I had money, I don't even know where I got it from. But I remember putting it in the offering. And I remember knowing that God will bless you back if you put it in. You know, he'll bring it back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together. And I remember hearing those things as a child, and I believed everything I heard when I was a child. Amen? Like, you believe everything they tell you. I believed it when my mom said Jesus came into my heart. And I believed if he could do it for my mom, he could do it for me. And so when I got down off of the table and I went into the living room and I knelt down at the couch and I asked Jesus to come into my heart at just a small age, not much bigger than Georgia, I remember the presence of God and I remember that moment. So I can tell you that God will make himself real to you wherever you give him opportunity. And at that same couch, probably, one day after I had given an offering of just my change, Mom had asked me to stick my hands down around in the couch and clean the lint and the, you know, all those things that fall down in your couch. You all put your hands down in your couch and clean that out. Okay, well, anyway, I had small hands. And Mom said, Lisa, I want you to take the cushions off the couch, put your hands down in there and clean, you know, the stuff that falls out, you know. When I did that, I reached into that couch and I had more money that a change that I could hold in two hands, in two of my little hands, probably not much bigger than the size of Georgia. And when I did that, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God had blessed me back, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. And it was a setup. God set me up for that moment because I knew that God was faithful to me and that as a little child, he saw my giving and saw my heart and blessed me back. Now, you can say whatever you want to do about that story, but from that time on, I knew the faithfulness of God works. And so if we got birthday money or whatever it was, we tithed off of that and we gave into the house of the Lord. And so we were taught from a very young age to give. And so I knew that God was faithful, that he heard me as a little child. I remember another instance where I needed batteries for a doll or a toy or something I had. And I asked my dad for batteries, and he said, no, I'm not bringing home batteries. And I cried and I prayed to God that he would bring batteries home when he came. Now, you think this is silly, but when my dad came home, he brought me batteries. And I just knew that God heard my prayer. I cried in supplication unto God, almost to the point of fasting and praying because I needed those batteries, but God heard my prayer as a child. See, I don't underestimate when I see these kids start to move and function and step out into what God is calling them to do. I'm going to tell you the power of the Holy Ghost is on their lives just as real as it is on your lives. And now is the time to teach them those things. And so I'm forever thankful for the fact that my family, my parents taught me from a young age to be a tither and a giver. Amen? Because in those early years of marriage, when you got married and moved out, you were on your own. Amen? My parents didn't come back and pay my house payment when I moved out, and my husband didn't have work, okay? And I'm not being rude or thrown off to anybody, but thank God they didn't, okay? Thank God they didn't because, you know, I remember that there were weeks that we made $70 a week. I know, it's a horror story, right? All you kids think, oh, here they go with their war stories. Made $70 a week. Our house payment was $215.90 at the time. How many know at the end of the month, there's not much left over? Thank God for deer meat. And if I have to say it, green beans. Amen? But I learned the faithfulness of God. And we tithe even in the midst of $70 a week checks. Amen. And it may not seem like a very much, but when that's all you had, it was a big deal. Amen. And I'm not the only one in here. I see heads nodding everywhere. I'm sure we could go around this room and I could hand you the microphone and tell you of the times when God's faithfulness, that there was a time God put money in our bank account. I don't even know how it got there. I went to the bank and I said, "You've made a mistake." It wasn't a large amount, but to me it was. I don't find my mistake. So there must be a mistake. They looked on their end. They said, "We don't find a mistake anywhere. It's your money." I said, "Then God must have put it there. He must have rained down manna from heaven. That's the only thing I know of." But I can tell you the faithfulness of God over the years. Amen. And so it's, as I told you before, you're being set up. It's a setup. Hallelujah. Because once you realize the faithfulness of God, hallelujah, and you put it into action, the scripture says that he will give and it will be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Now, how many know good measure, pressed down, shaken together doesn't just mean it was put in there. It means it was put in there, shaken, made room for more, put some more in there, shake it down. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. You put them French fries in that box and you shake it and you put some more French fries in there because that means it was pressed down, shaken together, and running over. How many know there's a difference? Hallelujah. And so those are the promises of God. Those are not my words. That's what the promises of God were. And you know what I find sometimes? We find sometimes a trend that says, well, you know what, tithing and things like that, that's old order. That's old covenant. That's Old Testament. I hear that sometimes from people. And I think, well, yeah, it's in Malachi. We'll read it here I'm running out of time, but we'll read it here real quick. But in Malachi, it talks about, go ahead and bring up my scripture in Malachi, Beth. It talks about bringing your tithes and your offerings into the storehouse. And it says, go ahead, try me and see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you can't contain. How many know it's a setup? He's setting you up. You go ahead and bring your tithes and your offerings into the storehouse, he said, because I want to bless you. It is my good pleasure to bless you. And I hear people say things like, well, that's old order, that's old covenant, that's Old Testament. Well, if you want to go New Testament, okay, if we want to go over into the New Testament and talk about giving, I mean, the scripture says when Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost, and he begins to preach, men and brethren, these are not drunk as you suppose, but this is that was poured out, that was prophesied by the prophet Joel, that I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. And it says 3,000 souls were added to the kingdom that day. I mean, under the old covenant at the day of Pentecost at the foot of Mount Sinai, 3,000 people dropped dead when the law was given. But on the day of Pentecost, when grace was given, 3,000 souls are added to the kingdom, and the scripture says, and they had all things common and sold their possessions and came and gave them for the furthering of the gospel. So how many know when you start preaching that kind of stuff, people want to go back to old order, and it's okay now just to give a tenth. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? It's all right, okay, then we'll go back to old order, old covenant, because now it's only a tenth, but in the New Testament, they sold it all and gave everything they had for the furthering of the kingdom. Amen? If you know me, you know I'm not a finance preacher. I don't dwell a lot on money or finances, but I want to tell you in the month of January 2015 in this house of Word of Deliverance, you're in for a setup. And I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you. If anybody will take the challenge this morning, I want to challenge you to say, God, I'm going to trust you with my finances. I'm going to trust you with my giving. And I'm going to determine in my mind in this year that when I come into the house of the Lord, I'm coming with a treasure chest. I'm coming to give to you, Lord, in whatever way. And I'm talking finances, but I'm not just talking finances. That, Lord, I've come to give out of my treasure chest. You have so blessed me. Is there anybody in this house this morning that can say they're blessed? Hallelujah. Then I want you to challenge you to try me. See, that's what his word says. And stretch yourself and say, Lord, I'm going to find opportunity on every hand to throw out hands of purpose. How many know Boaz started throwing out handfuls of purpose for Ruth? Hallelujah. He started leaving some things for Ruth to come along and find some blessing. Hallelujah. And how many know she started out gleaning on the edge of the field, but she found out she could marry the man who owned it all. I want you to know this morning, you do not have to live on the outside means of gleaning. You have been married to the great, your kinsman redeemer, who is the man who owns the field, and you have access to everything that God has for you. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we have the greatest opportunity. You know, we look at the stock market. How many know the stock market's unpredictable? You're probably best if you don't watch the stock market. Hallelujah. If you want to invest your money in something, invest it in something that is eternal. Amen. Amen. Where moth and dust does not corrupt. In Malachi, which is old, or it says, I am God. Yes, I am. I haven't changed. And because I haven't changed, you, the descendants of Jacob, haven't been destroyed. You have a long history of ignoring my command. You haven't done a thing I've told you. Return to me so I can return to you, says God of the angel armies. You ask, but how do we return? Begin by being honest. Honest people, do honest people rob God? But you rob me day after day. You ask, how have we robbed you? The tithe and the offering, that's how. And now you're under a curse, the whole lot of you, because you're robbing me. I mean, you know, in Malachi, they were under a curse. In the New Testament, you're not under the curse. You're under a blessing. Hallelujah. Bring your full tithe to the temple treasury so there will be ample provisions in my temple or in my house. Test me in this. Go ahead. Try me in this and see if I don't open up heaven itself to you and pour out blessings beyond your wildest dream. Is there anybody in here ready for God to pour out his blessings on you beyond your wildest dreams and your wildest anticipation? Hallelujah. He said, you go ahead. Go ahead. Test me. Try me. Go ahead and see if I won't pour out my blessings beyond your wildest dreams. For my part, I will defend you against marauders, protect your wheat fields and vegetable gardens against plunderers, the message of the angel, God of the angel armies. Is that the last one? Beth, is that where I finished there? All right, go ahead. You'll be voted happiest nation. You'll experience what it's like to be a country of grace. God of the angel army says so. This is the Message Bible interpretation. God says, you have spoken hard, rude words to me. You ask, when did we ever do that? When you said it doesn't pay to serve God, what do we ever get out of it? When we did what he said and went around with long faces, serious about God of angel armies, what difference did it make? Those who take the life into their own hands are the lucky ones. They break all the rules and get ahead anyway. They push God to the limit and get by with it. Then those whose lives honored God got together and talked it over. God saw what they were doing and listened in. A book was opened in God's presence, and minutes were taken of the meeting with the names of the God-fearers written down and all the names of those who honored God's name. Your name is written in the minutes of heaven. God of the angel army said, they're mine, all mine. They'll get special treatment when I go into action. I treat them with the same consideration and kindness that parents give the child who honors them. Once more, you'll see the difference it makes between being a person who does the right thing and one who doesn't, between serving God and not serving him. How many know if under the old covenant and the Old Testament, he said, go ahead and try me, test me, see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Hallelujah. How many know he'll pour you out a blessing, but he'll pour you out as a blessing. Hallelujah to other people around you. Hallelujah. And he said, I'll make you the happiest nation. I'll make you a nation of grace. If God's faithfulness and his word and his promises are that great under old covenant, just think what he'll do under a new covenant. Hallelujah. Just think what he'll do under a new covenant. Wise men bring gifts. Hallelujah. Wise men bring gifts. They open up their luggage and they pour out to honor the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I stand here today. I am who I am by the grace of God. Not my own labors, not my own works or my own wisdom, but only because of the faithfulness of God in our lives. Hallelujah. God has proved himself to me over and over again. Yeah, do I still hit those times when I think, I don't know about this, God. It don't seem like it's... Everybody has those times and you start to question things. But then God turns around and just does his thing. And you just think, wow, God, I knew you were faithful to me. I know your faithfulness is to the generation. See, I don't want to just sow into this for what I can get out of it myself. Amen. I'm not investing in this church just for what I can get out of this church. I'm investing into this house, this assembly, this body of people, because the generations that are yet to come, hallelujah, can rise up and bless the name of Jesus, be a force to be reckoned with in the earth, hallelujah, and empower the next generation to do greater things than what we've done or what we've seen, hallelujah, because somebody believed in them enough to invest in them, hallelujah, so there would always be a place like Word of Deliverance that people could come, hallelujah. That people could come and hear the gospel preached and their needs and lives be touched. Hallelujah. This has been a faithful house. You have touched people all over the world. Hallelujah. It was great having Pastor Roger here last Sunday and knowing that he was one of our earliest campers that came here to camp, gave his heart to the Lord at the altar over there. Pastors at church, has been pastoring for 22 years because of what God did in him in that little altar, in that old sanctuary over there 30 years ago. Hallelujah, because somebody dared to step out and say, we can't afford a church camp, we can't staff it, we can't stock it, but that never stopped us before. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, there's great things in store for Word of Deliverance. The vision is not finished, it's not complete. Do I have any visionaries in here today? My eyes have not waxed dim, my shoes have not worn out. Hallelujah. The vision is still alive and it's strong, and it's for the generations of this house. I want to make that challenge to you today. Amen. We have some things to accomplish. We have some things we need to purchase. We have some things we need to do. We have some staffing things we need to address. We need finances. We need people. We need treasures. We need giftings. I need some visionaries to step up and say, I believe in what we do in this house. And I, for one, I'm going to do what God places on my heart. Amen. I'm just going to go ahead and try him. I'm going to go ahead and test him. I'm going to go ahead and prove him. Because the faithfulness of God has never failed me. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful in this house for everyone who has stepped up, who go above and beyond. Who go above and beyond their call of duty in a volunteer basis to do what we do here. You don't see that everywhere. And so I'm so thankful for the heart of the people of this house and what God has in store for. Stand with me this morning for what God has in store for us in this house and in this people in the coming year. Hallelujah. Amen. If that speaks to you today, I just want you to pray about it. I want you to seek God. I want you to ask God what he wants of you. What giftings can you bring? What talents, what treasures can you give out of your storehouse, hallelujah, to empower the next generation and the vision of what God has in this house? I feel challenged this morning. Amen. I want to be a part of something big, and not big as in name, big as in what God wants to do in this day and in this season, in this community, and in this nation and all over the world. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe we can be a force to be reckoned with. Hallelujah. And I believe that nothing can stop the plan of God for us in this house. Will you agree with me on that? Will you agree with me on God and to be challenged in this year for God to do whatever he places on your heart, in your giving and in your vision, in your talents, whatever it is for this house. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we pray that you challenges us in such a way, God. Hallelujah. You are setting us up for greatness. You are setting us up for blessing, God, because your provision says that you would give back good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. God, I pray for those in this house who are struggling in finances. Father, I break the stronghold of poverty. Father, I break every situation that seemed like it would come to steal and to destroy. God, I pray over households. God, I pray over finances. I pray over jobs. I pray over relationships, God, in Jesus' name. And God, I say no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And God, I say that a release, Father, of your blessing, of your goodness, and of your provision over this house, God, in a way we've never seen it before. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If you believe it, reach up and grab a hold of it this morning. Go ahead and bless him for it and thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We believe you, Jesus. We believe you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You are a great and mighty God. Hallelujah.
Trembles at his voice.